I'd like to talk this morning on prayer in the book of Acts. When you look at the Bible, you look and you find out that in the book of Matthew, prayer was mentioned 10 times, 12 times in the book of Mark, 5 times in the book of John, 19 times it was mentioned in the book of Luke. But Acts is truly a prayer book because it's mentioned 32 times in the book of Acts. Well, look at what happened. The disciples had been through very terrible, challenging times. They'd been following Jesus and witnessed miracles. Actually, God had worked miracles through their ministries and through their lives. And suddenly, everything that they believed, which was, of course, contrary to what Jesus told them would happen. He said all of these problems and all of this suffering and all of the death and resurrection was going to happen. But they forgot that, and they were discouraged, they were beaten, they were downtrodden. But then the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And little by little, as He began to reveal Himself to them, and He began to teach them and prepare them, He gave them advanced course in Christian theology. In the period of time between the resurrection and the ascension. And they suddenly came to an awareness that God had something different for them. But looking back at the prophecy of David found in Psalm 68:16, he said, "Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast received gifts for men," speaking prophetically, that the Messiah would not only come to the world and go through the suffering, but He would ascend into heaven, and He would receive gifts that God had to give to men. But we look at the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8. He said, "He ascended on high, He led captivity captive, He gave gifts to men." He was speaking specifically of the Holy Spirit that would come in a baptismal measure. He had already breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." But Jesus made a commandment. He gave them a commandment and an order. He commanded them to stay in Jerusalem and wait until they had been endued with power from on high. And He said, wait for the promise of the Father. The promise of the Father was the Holy Spirit coming in a powerful baptismal nature until their whole being was literally saturated with the mighty power of the risen Christ. And so they were waiting in the city of Jerusalem, and they were praying, and all through the book of Acts. We don't have time this morning, at least I have time, and you don't, you know. I could do all 32 prayers, but I'd be pretty lonely by the time I was through, so I don't want to be rejected, so I won't go that long. And so I know, ma'am, I'm already rejected by some of you, but please don't tell me, because I bruise easy and cry loud, so be kind to me. I'm an older gentleman. Well, actually, I'm an older person. I don't know if I'm a gentleman or not. But anyway, we continue on here, and I don't know why I went off on that little tangent, but it happens from time to time. It happens from time to time, and I just have to live with it. Never plan it. It just happens, you know. So anyway, He said, stay in the city of Jerusalem and pray. So they got together, and they went to an upper room in the place they were staying, and they waited in the presence of God and prayed. While they were there, they were reminded of the fact that Judas had forsaken the Lord and lost his life, fulfilling prophecy, and they needed to replace him. So they put the name of two men up. And they said, one of these men is the one who will replace Judas as the Scripture prophesied that they would do. And so they prayed. And then they cast lots. And God spoke, and He provided Matthias to take the place of Judas. And once again, there were 12 disciples. But everything they did was a part of prayer. Prayer. And you know, sometimes when you go in prayer, you are really interceding and seeking the Lord, and then suddenly your mind begins to wonder, unless you're more spiritual than I am. Sometimes I'm praying, and all of a sudden I'm saying to myself, and this is really wicked, what, I wonder what the score is. And I'm not talking about how many people won a spiritual battle. Wonder what that is, you know. I'm thinking about, and wait a minute, Lord, I'm praying, forgive me. You know, tell me what the score is. But He doesn't. And our minds begin to wonder. And I don't know what that was happening in the upper room, but they've been praying a long time. And they've been seeking the Lord in all time. And I think that God knew, He knows us. And so when the Holy Spirit came, there was a great sound that awakened them. A great sound. And suddenly they knew that something was happening. And then an amazing thing happened. There were split tongues or cloven tongues like fire. And it came into the room and it set on each one of them. And then they did something that was absolutely astounding. They began to speak the praises of God and the wonders of God in a language they had never learned. I envy people who are bilingual and can have three and four languages. I went to the doctor the other day to see how she was doing. She was seeing how I was doing. But the fact of the matter, I was there and a young lady came there. It was from India. And I was talking to her and, I was trying to sneak in a little testimony here somewhere there and everywhere. But I found out something that blew my mind. Here's this wonderful little person, this little lady, and she's not very big, and you know that she can't have a huge brain, not enough room. And she speaks nine languages. And I said, I'm not worthy to talk to you. I can't even speak one very well. And here you speak nine languages. And she says, oh, it's just kind of the way I am. And I said, well, it's the way I ain't, but I wish I was the way you am. And suddenly she kind of caught it, but it was kind of a corny joke. But anyway, I was amazed about that. But having that happen, there was a time when I was in Tanzania and God was pouring out of His Spirit. We were on a little village called Mbeya on the shores of Lake Victoria. And the first night that we were there, the whole group of Muslims came and with torches and they surrounded the tent. We brought a tent over, a green and red tent, yellow. I forget what color it was. Maybe it was pastel. Maybe it was a hippie tent. I can't remember. But it was yellow and green. That's what it is. This is what happens to you, Things change in your life. Your whole body begins to go back to the earth from which it came, it's in advance. It's going down. And then suddenly bits and pieces of thoughts sneak here and there. And so here they guys were with torches, and I thought, oh, how wonderful, they're going to help light the path for us. But no, it wasn't that way. It was pretty scary because they didn't just have torches, they had machetes too. And I said, Lord, I know that you're in this. And I don't know what happened, but I know God did something. And they started dropping their torches and their machetes, and most of them walked away, but about 30 or 40 of them came into the tent, and revival broke out. And the Holy Spirit was outpoured, and we actually heard a man praising God in a language he had never learned. It was English, and it was the most beautiful praise from a man that had never this before. God does powerful things when we pray. And there was a great revival that broke out, and an amazing things happened there. And it was one of the great moments of our lives, and we had such an incredible time of witness. The power of the Holy Spirit opened the door, and multitudes began to come in to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. The power of the Holy Spirit. We were in another place in Tanzania, East Africa, where we spent some time establishing churches. And, of course, there were national pastors who were trained that took it over. And I would preach there two or three times a day for two or three months. And then the national pastor would take over. And those churches still are happening to this day as the Holy Spirit did His amazing and incredible work. And in this particular instance, there was a sorceress or a witch in this little town that we were in. And nobody would come to the meeting. Normally they would, because it was an event. A tent comes in, and then these people come in, these weird people come in, and they're passing out pamphlets, and the African ministry Christians are going around. But this sorceress had such a power in her life that people were afraid of her, and she told them that if they went that she would cast a spell upon them. But finally a few began to come, and then more and more, and then one night one of the most amazing things I've ever experienced in my life happened. Suddenly, in the back of the tent, here comes this woman. And she had this amazing head of hair and these long, curved fingernails. And she let out a shriek that I had hair then, made my hair stand right up on end. And actually, when I had long hair, and it was all standing up there like some of you guys are right now. I was thinking you weren't combing your hair, but it finds out that's the fashion that's going on with your hair right now. But I'll tell you something, dude, you don't look good in that hair. But hang on to it. it's a proof that you're young. And so enjoy your hair while you have it. But anyway, I have a lot of good advice for you that'll help you through your life if you'll just listen to me. But anyway, the fact of the matter, she comes screaming, and I'm wondering what's happening, and I'm thinking, here's a sorceress, and she's got these big fingernails, and I may have to do something if she rushes up here where I'm standing. And I only didn't have a big old high thing like this. I had an 18-inch platform, and I'm standing there, and all of a sudden, here she comes shrieking and saying, I don't know what, but it didn't sound that she was really welcoming to Africa or anything. And suddenly, she leaped, comes down there, and I said, Lord, what am I going to do? And being in the flesh, I thought, I've got to get her on the jaw on the first blow, or I'm going to die. And the Lord spoke to me and said, stand still. I kind of thought, was that the Lord? I stood still. And she leaped. And she hit an invisible barrier and fell to the ground. You say, you made it up. No, I didn't. She tried it again. 3 times. And then God so moved her that she ran out. She was terrified. We tried to pray for her, and we did. Later on, she came again, but she came a different person. And we did pray for her. God's power, the power of the Holy Spirit. God doesn't always work in such visible and exotic ways as that. But from the time that happened, it was broken and people streamed in from villages all over until the tent wouldn't hold them. We had to pull the flaps up and have him standing outside, and the power of the Holy Spirit began to reveal the beautiful face of Jesus and their darkness and the bondages that they were in. One of the things in Tanzania, we spent time with a Canadian doctor who was a Christian, whose mission was there to study the health of the Tanzanian people. This was many years ago. And he said, one of the things that they have one of the highest rates of ulcers because there are so many spirits that they see and are fearful of. So many acts of darkness that they have the highest rate of ulcers of any people in Africa, in that particular area. Because of the fear that the enemy brings in. Because he thinks he has all of this power, and he parades that power, and we think that, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? But in relationship to God and the Holy Spirit, he has no power. Jesus doesn't have to do anything. He just speaks the word, and everything he says come to pass. And he defeats the power of darkness. But we must recognize that God desires for us to have this empowerment of the Holy Spirit in our daily lives, that we might see miracles, quiet miracles, loud miracles, all kinds of miracles taking place as we walk and live in the Spirit. When Peter was preaching after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, they left the upper room and went out into the crowds. He came toward the end of his sermon, and he said, with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. In other words, there's something that we must do. After we know Jesus, after we're filled with the presence of God, to learn the assets that God has left behind, that we might be empowered by the Holy Spirit, that whatever is necessary, God can do and will do in our lives. He will bring to pass miraculous things and miraculous happenings in our daily lives, and God will mightily and powerfully use us. And so when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they went out. It wasn't long after that until suddenly persecution began to really hit the church in great force. Peter and John went to the temple where a man that was over 40 years old had been begging there all of his life. He's carried there to beg. And Peter and John saw him. And he looked at them and Peter said, look at me. And he looked at him because he thought they were going to give him some money. But he said, I don't have any money. I don't have any paper money. I don't have any coins. I don't know if they had paper money. But anyway, I don't have any. I'm broke. But such as I have, give I unto you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, stand up. And he stood up. and walked. Not only that, he was so excited about it, the Bible said God instantly gave him strength. It wasn't a gradual healing, it was a miracle. And he jumped and he leaped and he was praising God. And he'd been there so many years that the people knew who he was. And they were absolutely astounded. And they came and went into the temple, and Peter began to preach and saying, it's not us, it's God working in us. It's not our power, it's God's power. It's the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. And he gave this message. And so it's an interesting thing. God can work a miracle, and an unbeliever will still not be an unbeliever. The chief priests and the elders and the authorities, they suddenly got together and they said, what can we do? We cannot deny that this man has had a miraculous experience in their life. It seems to me that when God would do something so miraculous, that we would recognize that it's God doing something. I shared a story the other day of my Uncle Bill Series that I'm named after. And he was a big old Greek guy, and my family were all Irish. My dad's family were all Irish, Irish immigrants. But he was a really big, mean man. And his wife, my aunt Edda, or my great aunt, my dad's aunt, we're going back about 200 years now, or I don't know the math, but anyway, it's been a while. And suddenly, she's a little tiny woman, and kind of meek and quiet and everything, but a revival took place at an old schoolhouse out on the plains of eastern Colorado. And my grandmother was healed of heart disease and failure. And my grandfather, he was a really tough old Irish guy, and I won't tell you all the stories about him, but there he's got some amazing things that happened to him. And he was not a Christian. None of them were Christians. They were pretty rough people. And then so he had a fight going on with his neighbor in the next homestead. It was just like the old West with farmers instead of cowboys. And they hated each other. And then his neighbor got saved. And he roars up in the buckboard late one night and he said, Joe Neely, don't shoot me before I tell you what happened to me. I went to the schoolhouse and God healed me, or God saved me and changed my life, and I'm sorry for the way I've been treating you. And slowly that whole family of my grandmother and grandfather and all nine children that lived, they had 11 children altogether, but only nine of them lived. And suddenly they became on fire for God, and God began doing things. But old Uncle Bill Series, my dad's uncle, he wasn't about to have anything to do with Christianity. Now, you have these big storms that come out on the plains of eastern Colorado. Joe, what time is this service over? You told me how long I had in the last service. I forgot to ask. We got 5 minutes? No, anyway. Gil shouldn't have taken so much time with the announcements, you know. So anyway, a storm's coming up, and she says, I've got to go to church. And he said, you're my wife, and I'm telling you, you're not going to that church. You do everything I tell you. And she said, Bill, in every other way, you're my husband, but I've got to obey God more than you. So she went, and she came back, and one of those blizzards that sweeps through eastern Colorado out in those plains came up, and she came home, and she was cold. It was bitter cold. And suddenly, she stood there, and she said, Bill, let me in. And he said, I'm not letting you in. And he had taken a 4x4 and propped up the door and said, you're not coming in. He didn't care if she froze. He was so mad and so mean. And he said, if this God of yours is so powerful, have him let you in. And Edda said, Bill, you shouldn't talk about Jesus that way. He said, what are you going to do about it? She said, well, in the name of Jesus, come open. And God cracked that 4x4, and Uncle Bill became a Christian. So it seems as though that when you see something miraculous, you ought to be like Uncle Bill. You ought to get down on your knees and repent. The power of the Holy Spirit all through the Acts, book of Acts, one prayer after another was happened. You look at Peter and all of them, they went in, and there was this woman that had died. She was a saint of God. Her name was Tabitha. And so Peter said, get all of these other people out of here. And he went in, he started praying for her, the Bible said. And he said, Tabitha, get up. Well, when you're dead, you can't get up. But somehow, because God had put faith in his heart, Tabitha got up. God resurrected her from the dead. And he was in the midst of prayer. All kinds of miracles were taking place. Amazing things were happening. There was a man by the name of Ananias in the city where the apostle Paul was. And Paul had been, he'd been out there killing Christians and putting them in jail and persecuting them. He was really doing some really nasty things. And now God had knocked him off of his high horse, and he was blind. And suddenly God spoke to him, and he says, I want you to go down to the street called Straight, and I want you to meet a man there, and his name is Saul of Tarsus. And he is praying. He is praying. And so he went in, and he prayed for him, and he received his sight. Prayer all through the book of Acts. Prayers bring miracles. Prayers bring deliverance. The church entered into great persecution. Right after Peter and John were in the temple, they were beaten, or they were threatened to beat them. They didn't beat them because they were afraid of the people. And they said to them, we don't know what they're going to do with them. And they said, so they charged them, don't speak anymore in the name of Jesus. Leave it alone. Don't say another word about it. Peter and John looked at them and said, I'm sorry, but the fact is, it is it better to obey you or to obey God? You choose. And they went and they continued. They went back to the church, and now this persecution was began. It wasn't long until the martyrs began to lose their lives for the cause of Christ. But the church went together and prayed. And they said, now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants boldness, that with great power we might speak the word. And the Bible said, the place was shaken. There was a spiritual earthquake, and it awakened them to the presence of God. And in spite of all of the threats, they went out and they began to speak the word of God boldly, challenging the very darkness and the very pits of hell. God can do anything. But Christians, there's something we need to understand. It's wonderful to study the Bible. We must study it and know the Word of God. But it's even more wonderful to apply the Word of God and to see God enforce what we say with an axe of His power and His resurrection power to lead us, to direct us, and to give us answers and to help us to bring people to Christ and work miracle after miracle after miracle. We were in the city of Midland, Texas when I just started my ministry. And I had a tough start. I always find Dad had me start preaching on Tuesday night. And my mother was had taught English in a university. And my dad, of course, he'd come from a third grade education, and God developed his ministry as my mother taught him. But anyway, I would preach, and after the service, my mother and dad would sit there and they would talk to me. And I hated going home. I was at a ripe old age of 18 at the time, because they criticized my sermon. You don't like to have your sermons criticized, no matter how bad they are. You just don't like it. I mean, it's just something about it. You put your whole heart into it. And my dad would sit there and he would say, son, that was an interesting doctrine that you talked about tonight. He said, I've studied the Bible for 40 years and I've never found that doctrine anywhere in the Bible. Would you show me where it is? And my mother would say, what is this word that you use? She said, I know the English language very well, and I've never heard that particular word before. Where did you get that word? I went through that for a year and a half. And you know, I just got saddle sore and careful, and that's why I'm so careful in what I say now, when I'm with all of you, but God began to use me, and God began to teach me that it wasn't my ability, it wasn't my glib tongue or whatever. I had a guy come up to me and he said, "I've learned the secret to your ministry," and I thought, "Oh, good, this is going to be a really great compliment." He said, you have the gift of gab. No, I have all sorts of gifts of the Holy Spirit. I don't have any gifts of my own. But you look at this in times of crisis. They stoned Stephen. Stephen prayed and said, Lord, receive my servant, my spirit. One of the apostles was killed. And all through the book of Acts, they continued to pray and to pray and to pray. This is a praying church. This is a praying pastor. Joe shared one of the most amazing miracles that you all witnessed. A little girl, and you all know her, and I can't recall her name, with an incurable cancer. The doctors gave her up, and her mother said, suddenly she said to the doctors, there's nothing else you can do. You know this story. I just heard it last night, but I was so excited by it. And the doctor said, well, no, there's nothing you can do. Go prepare for a funeral. And she said, I just wanted you to say there's nothing else you can do, because now it's time for my God to work. And that little girl is in this church and was healed and delivered completely by the power of God. Christians! Christians! The book of Acts is not over. We're continuing to write it. There is the power of the Holy Spirit. There are the gifts of the Spirit that operate in our lives. And what we desperately need in our world is just an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon us that will empower us to witness and to challenge the gates of hell. And the Bible teaches us something. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Some people think that means there's a gate, you know, there that's holding hell out. No, the gates of hell are holding people in, and God wants us to go and kick them down by the power and might of God, and go in and bring the captives out and see them delivered by the mighty power of Jesus Christ. And how is it going to happen? It is going to happen through your ministry and my ministry, because every believer is called to be a minister. And you cannot minister to the maximum effectiveness that God can use you in until you are empowered, baptized, and renewed by the Holy Spirit. The apostles weren't just baptized one time. You'll find them going through the Scripture over and over again, receiving a renewing, a refilling. There's something about life. You go through life and you get a little bit of the world that rubs off on you. I love to go out to the high desert and do some fly fishing with some of my buddies, and we're out there for 3 or 4 days, and there's no showers out there, and there's nothing like that. And we don't notice it because we all stink, you know. But we come home, and the first thing my wife says to me, I try to give her a kiss. She said, shower first, kiss later. And so I go in and I shower. Why? Because we get some of the junk in the gut. You know, we are dirty people if we don't wash. We really are. We're stinky people. You know, even you ladies, too, you know, you stink too, you know, if you don't wash. So, we all do. That's just the way we are. And the Bible said we need to experience what the Bible calls that renewing of the Holy Spirit, that freshening of the Holy Spirit, which He has shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ. And God has the power. You have the access to the power of God. You are the vessel He chooses to flow it through. And the Holy Spirit will speak and tell the world about Jesus, and He'll take the words of Jesus and speak them through you. Let's continue to seek the power of the Holy Spirit. 40 states with pastors coming from 40 states, 7 countries, and who knows how many more. Think of what happens if there's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit at that conference, which I know by faith is going to happen, and it's going to spread, and Christians aren't going to go around with a tuck head. I'm a Christian. I'm a little embarrassed by it, and I don't want to offend anybody, and I'm not going to talk about it until suddenly we're going to walk in there, and we're going to say, I'm a Christian, and I love Jesus Christ, and if you don't turn from your sins, you're lost forever, and God will raise, the power of God will transform and raise people from the dead. Oh man, I'm noisy today, but I feel good because God is here, and He is good, and He is wonderful. Praise God, praise God. I have a feeling my time has come, and so let's pray. Father, bless this time together, and may the message of Your power and grace help us to recognize You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And everything that happened in the past can happen again as we walk in the presence of Your blessed love and gracious forgiveness of sins that comes through Jesus, and the power of the Holy Spirit that He has sent to implement His message, that we might continue the work that He started, that the works that He did might we do in greater number than He did, because we are spread out all over the world. Lord, raise and awaken Your church to the power and to the potential that You place within us. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. God bless you.